some ways our world is a joke, but it would be a tragedy if we didn't poke fun at it every now and then. And that's the role of comedians, humorists, and satirists. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Except that when the joke makes fun of our own values, sometimes it can be really too offensive. And that has been the case throughout the history. And it's not an exception in today's times as well, when people try to make fun of our modern day values. Many of us do get offended, as you would expect. And that's something Titania McGrath has been doing on Twitter, if you are active there. She's a fictional character created by comedian Andrew Doyle, and she makes fun of modern day social justice movements. In fact, her satires can be so realistic that many people don't realize that it's a parody account. And that really makes it even funnier. But we've got to realize that whenever comedians are making fun of certain things in the society, it's fine. They're trying to make us see something which we might be missing. And that's the idea, right? So this fictional character has a book as well. In fact, a couple of books now. So this one book which I'm going to be talking about and will be reading later, it's called My First Little Book of Intersectional Feminism. So you can expect from the title that this makes fun of intersectionality and feminism alongside many other social justice movements. Takes a dig on many activists, journalists, writers, and doesn't really hesitate to crack offensive jokes. As I said, it can be offensive, especially to those who are passionately involved in social justice movements, which is a wonderful thing. But from time to time, we've got to remind ourselves that it's fine. It's fine to laugh sometimes. It's fine to crack jokes on even the most sacred values. It can be God. It can be something else. Our humanitarian values. It's fine as long as we trust each other, as long as we know that it's in good humor. So I'm going to be reading the first few pages from this book. The book called My First Little Book of Intersectional Feminism. So let's go. This is a book for aspiring activists between the age of 6 months and 6 years. If you are an adult, kindly fuck off and read something else. Now that ancient prying eyes have been averted, we may speak candidly. As a young person, you represent the next generation of intersectional warrior queens. I make no apologies for using advanced terminology such as intersectional because I refuse to patronize you in the way your parents have done. I know that there is wisdom in youth. As a baby, my first words were, "Seize the means of production." If anything, people become more retarded as they grow older. The most intelligent person in the world at present is the teenager Greta Thunberg, peace be upon her. And by far, the stupidest is that Professor Jordan Peterson. I haven't read any of his books, but apparently he's some kind of shadowy, beef-munching Mephistopheles figure who thinks the lobsters should tidy their rooms or something. I'm fully aware that the word retarded has become an offensive, pejorative term. But I'm reclaiming it. This is because to be retarded simply means to move backwards. And as paradoxical as it may seem, in order to progress, we must move backwards to a time before our culture became infected with democracy, free speech, and facts. I feel no compunction, therefore, in declaring that social justice is a profound form of retardation. As a young person in a world swarming with crypto-fascists, you will need guidance from one whose benevolence is beyond doubt. Enter Titania Megra. That's me, by the way. Your parents are not to be trusted. At least one of them is likely to be straight, which is an aberration that has plagued humankind since the aeon of the Velociraptors. Given that sexuality is fluid, the World Health Organization really should classify heterosexual desire as severe mental and behavioral disorder. Believe me, future generations will thank us if we successfully eliminate heterosexuality. Many of you will have been gestated in a traditional female womb and been arbitrarily assigned a sex at birth. You will have been told you're a girl, or even worse, a boy. You will have attended an indoctrination camp known as a school and will have been programmed by the media to believe ludicrous lies. This book is your first step towards undoing the damage. To the little girls who are reading this, it is important that you learn that you will always be oppressed, no matter how much you try to distract yourselves with weekend breaks in the Loire Valley or the occasional spree at Harrods. As for the boys, you really should transition to female as soon as possible, so that you might begin to understand the extent of our persecution. Let me put this clearly as possible. Your teachers hate you. Your parents hate you. And as for your grandparents, they are just gnarled and embittered gnomes whose redeeming feature is that they won't be around for much longer. As this is the first time I've written anything aimed at young children, I have undertaken a great deal of research on how best to go about it. I've been reliably informed that kids adore illustrations because they help to clarify the meaning of the text. With that in mind, here is a diagram which will help you to better understand the complexities of intersectional activism. Intersectional activism, how it works. I think we can learn a lot from this. So let me tell you a bit about myself. I am Titania Megra, scourge of the patriarchy, breaker of chains, the embodiment of social justice. If truth bombs were eggs, I'd be a chicken. So if you are unsure about which opinions to have, this is the book for you. In addition to being a feminist and a socialist, I'm also the most important poet of my generation. To prove it, a selection of my best work is included in this volume. My speciality is the genre known as slam. So when you read the poems, imagine that I'm reciting them in a vaguely urban accent. Take great care when approaching my poetry, as it tends to expose new layers of meaning with every reading, like the very wokest of onions. I have started performing my more shocking and evocative poems at environmental protests, such as the ever-popular Mother Earth is not your slut. I tend to recite it completely naked, except for a pashmina fashioned from interlaced earthworms. Some people find my performance so moving that they actually have to leave. In addition to my lyrical prowess, I am also an oppressed minority. I am ecosexual, which means I only have sex with plants and vegetables. I am trans-disabled, which means that I am permitted to use the most spacious public toilet facilities in spite of my functioning legs. And I am also hayracial, which means that my ethnic identity tends to fluctuate depending on the pollen count. I have a reputation not only for my intelligence, but also for my righteous anger. Like Johann of Arc, I have successfully fought for justice against incredible odds. But unlike Johann of Arc, I haven't made the dumb mistake of getting myself burned to death in the process. I didn't ask to be an icon, but part of growing up is to accept the role that fate decrees. You will learn this as you reach adulthood. Obviously, your role is unlikely to be as important as mine. You'll probably end up working in a supermarket or something, but even a lowly shop assistant can be woke. People often ask me to define woke. I don't need to. I'm the living definition of the word. But if you are interested to know more, you should tell your parents to buy a copy of my first book, Woke, A Guide to Social Justice, which has a particular strong chapter on how to defeat capitalism. It's available on Amazon. And now, in spite of the patriarchal forces that would see me vanquished, I have penned my first little book of intersectional activism. There have been many progressive children's books flooding the market of late, such as Feminist Baby, Seas for Consent, and The Little Girl Who Gave Zero Fucks. Perhaps the most accomplished is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, which pays tribute to feminist role models such as Michelle Obama, Maya Angelou, and Yoko Ono. My favorite chapter is one on Coco Chanel, the most empowering of all the Nazi collaborators. Needless to say, my book is even better. In a series of groundbreaking and poignant chapters, I shall take you on a journey with the most inspiring individuals in history, such as Emmeline Pankhurst, Hillary Clinton, and Joseph Stalin. Even if you haven't yet learned how to read, you should carry it with you wherever you go to prove that you are not a bigot. Some of you might be thinking that in the wake of a deadly pandemic, social justice activism should take a backseat or that our concerns now seem relatively trivial. On the contrary, voices such as mine have never been more urgently needed. It is crucial that we all work together to ensure that this pandemic does not distract us from the far more serious problem of people being misgendered on Twitter. Besides, too often we are quick to judge and demonize those we do not understand. As a vegan and a humanitarian, I welcome refugees of any species, and yes, that includes the coronavirus. It is surely no coincidence that the so-called medical community has decided to focus its ire on a Chinese virus rather than, say, German measles, Japanese encephalitis, or Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I consider the search for a vaccine to be profoundly racist. Already the virus has been renamed COVID-19 and in a flagrant attempt at dehumanization. Do you know who else was given numbers instead of names? That's right, those two gay robots in Star Wars. Another problem we face is that bigots like Oxidized Hope, Goblin Donald Trump are routinely using the phrase Chinese virus as a racist dog whistle. On the other hand, it should go without saying that denying the coronavirus its right to a national identity post-migration is also a racist dog whistle. Therefore, those of us who oppose racism must be sure that we never refer to the virus as Chinese or deny that is, in fact, it is Chinese. So, already we can see how intersectional activism is more relevant than ever in these strange times. If the apocalypse does come, we need to ensure that it does not disproportionately affect minority groups. In a sense, we should be grateful for the coronavirus because my period of self-isolation afforded me the time and the opportunity to write this book. Given the importance of my work, the global dissemination of a lethal virus seems a small price to pay. I have a dream. I have a dream that little children will one day live in a nation where they will be judged not by the content of their character but by the color of their skin in order to fulfill diversity quotas and deconstruct the inherent toxicity of whiteness. I have a dream that little black boys and little black girls and little black gender non-conforming children will be able to work as one to dismantle oppressive institutionalized power structures and cis-dominant heteronormative discourses of privilege. And in these pages, my dream shall come true.